thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we do indeed exalt thee far above all gods. We worship you for who you are, for all that you revealed of yourself in the Lord Jesus, for the way that you blessed us and held us and guided us. We exalt you above everything else that would claim our allegiance. And pray, Father, that today you would not only speak to us, but fill us each afresh with your Holy Spirit, reassuring us of your presence with us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, St. Margaret's. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you, Chris and the band, for leading in worship. We'll be back to you soon. Carolyn, do you have a notice? I think you do, or should, or don't we? It's always good in the church. It's reassuring, isn't it?
As I said last week, we're actually trying something new at the church. So on Wednesday evenings from 5:30 until 7, there is an opportunity for anybody who feels they have to rush back to work when there's a time of prayer on Wednesdays to come to the church and have prayer. There'll be people from the prayer ministry team who will be, you know, love to pray with you. So that starts this evening. So any time between 5:30 and 7, if you'd like prayer, do come along. Thank you.
I think I was beginning to preach for so long, people could no longer have time for prayer ministry. So it's a real reminder to keep short. May I read to you a few verses from James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. It's found on page 11149. James chapter 3 and beginning at verse 13. James writes to all those people who received this letter in about 60 AD. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. One of the many good things about the Lord Jesus Christ is if you're a vicar and you've been preaching about something, he then gives you lots of opportunities in the days that follow to put into practice what you've been preaching about on any particular day. Last week I was preaching about, controlling the tongue, the way we speak, way we express ourselves because of who we are becoming in him. And, you know, I spent the rest of Wednesday afternoon in that serene attitude, which often is one of the qualities of the clergy of the Church of England. Then, of course, on Thursday morning, I came in and switched on the computer and found something that made me particularly frustrating. I've been doing a bit of a project for the local diocese, a local bit of the Church of England, and the person I was reporting to, instead of waiting till I'd finished, began to interfere. And I thought, right, this is it. I remembered him being ordained. He's just come up in the fast lane. You know, he's a friend, but not on Thursday morning. And so I sent a note which said, very interesting, we must speak. And sent it. And then 2 minutes later, I said, I will ring you. And sent it again and thought, how could he do it? And, but of course, fortunately, had various commitments, people I had to see and meetings I had to go to and services I had to take. So it was Friday afternoon before I sat down again. He hadn't rung me back. I'd forgotten that I'd rung him. So I thought, he can't be bothered to ring after he's been a bit of a rat. I will send him. You know, I was really putting into practice all I was preaching, wasn't I? You know? So I wrote an email explaining why he was such a person, and but not mentioning the particular rodent that was in my mind, and thinking, that's good. And just something before I press send, I think it might have been the Holy Spirit, just minimize it for a couple of hours. First type of conversation the Holy Spirit and I have. And so I did. And but I put it up again at 6 o'clock as I was thinking of going home. And it was a very satisfying three paragraphs. You have no idea to write. But 2 hours later, I thought, perhaps not the wisest thing to send. So I kind of closed it down and got rid of it. At least I hope I got rid of it. You never know with computers, do you? And I left a message on his answer phone saying, I think I was supposed to ring you. I'll ring you first thing on Monday. So I went to see him on Monday. He offered to come and see me. I thought, no, I want to be on the high moral ground. Still wrestling, as you can see, with holiness. Not very good. And so I went off to see him. And we sat and chatted about this. And I just thought, as we were talking, I still thought, you're wrong, of course. You're wrong, and get your tanks off my lawn. But I did think, what a really good bloke you are. I can see why we've been friends for 20 years. Gross example of lack of judgment, I thought, in your email last Thursday. But actually, you're a really good bloke. And we came to what I think both of us felt was a good compromise on the way ahead. And it's something of that journey that James is writing about in these verses. He's focused so far in the chapter on the way we speak, on the words we use. And here he begins to focus on the people we are, as we see in the second part of verse 13. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. It's great, but slightly enigmatic. The Message version of the Bible puts it much more directly. It's the way you live and not just the way you talk that counts. Not a very comfortable thought, as you can imagine, as I think of last Thursday. It's the way you live and not just the way you talk that counts. James develops this in verse 14 by reminding us to be alert to the temptations that, before we often realize it, can undermine who the Lord Jesus is calling us to be. We are to be people who avoid that bitter envy and selfish ambition of what he writes here. They can easily become so much a part of who we are. Envy, ambition. It's quite endemic round here, actually. They're powerful temptations. It's easier to be envious of someone else's success, to be ambitious for what we haven't got or achieved. So given that it's easy to get it wrong, how do we respond to the call that James gives us, that it's the way we live that counts? How can we be different? He writes, firstly, about seeking wisdom. First part of verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven. That's what we need, he says. And earlier on in the letter, in chapter 1, he tells us how we can access this wisdom from heaven. There we read, if anyone wants wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. James, knowing the temptations we face and how easy it is to be caught up in reacting to situations, is encouraging us to become those who more and more naturally seek the help that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to give us, who recognize that, frankly, we can't get it right by ourselves. We can't be changed into who we'd want to be by our own human effort. We're to be those who are praying, Lord, I need your help. I need your help today if I'm going to get through it and in any way at all reflect your character. We need to be those too who are alert to the temptations we face and pray about them specifically. So easy to be knocked off course as believers by the temptations that are all around us. We need to be realistic about our weaknesses, more honest in our prayer, so that we're actually saying, this is what I need, this is what's wrong, I need your help. He really puts us on the spot about our prayer life. Is it an honest exchange, reminding the Lord Jesus that we've understood more about ourselves and more about him? We're to seek wisdom and we're to see change. Verse 17, James describes the qualities that the Holy Spirit wants to see in us. Holiness, getting along well with other people, being reasonable, patient, dependable, not two-faced. Qualities that mean, as we see in verse 18, that we live lives which display a harvest of righteousness. It's the way you live that counts, says James. And he encourages us to seek wisdom and to see change. And we can sense the Lord Jesus putting us very, very gently on the spot. What are our lives like? Are they pleasing to him? And what still needs to change?